page 138. Some Social Implications of Modern Technology by Herbert Marcuse. First published in Studies in Philosophy and Social Sciences, Volume Roman 9, 1941, the article is a large-scale investigation of that fetish of technique or technical efficiency, which after 1941 represented for critical theory, especially for Marcuse, the key ideological replacement of the commodity fetish under modern industrialized authoritarian states. With respect to Marcuse's better known later position, the essay incorporates two anomalous attitudes, the ultimate political neutrality of techniques such as even the existing technologies and the possibility of progressive utilization of techniques, even bureaucratic one. Through democratic reform, nevertheless, Marcuse is in extremely clear fashion specifies all those dimensions of technical reason open to repressive and ideological utilization in the hands of authoritarian regimes. In this article, technology is taken as a social process in which techniques proper, that is the technical apparatus of industry, transportation, communication, is but a partial factor. We do not ask for the influence or effect of technology on the human individuals, for they are themselves an integral part and factor of technology, not only as the men who invent or attend to machinery, but also as the social groups which direct its application and utilization. Technology as a mode of production, as the totality of instruments, devices, and contrivances which characterize the machine age, is thus at the same time a mode of organizing and perpetuating or changing social relationships, a manifestation of prevalent thought and behavior patterns, an instrument for control and domination. Footnote 1, text. Page 139. Techniques by itself can promote authoritarianism as well as liberty, scarcity as well as abundance, the extension as well as the abolition of toil. National socialism is a striking example of the ways in which we highly rationalized and mechanized economy with the utmost efficiency in production can operate in the interest of totalitarian oppression and continued scarcity. The Third Reich is indeed a form of technocracy. The technical considerations of imperialistic efficiency and rationality supersede the traditional standards of profitability and general welfare. In National Socialist Germany, the reign of terror is sustained not only by brute force, which is foreign to technology, but also by the ingenious manipulation of the power inherent in technology. The intensification of labor, propaganda, the training of youth and workers, the organization of the governmental, industrial, and party bureaucracy, all of which constitutes the daily implements of terror, follow the lines of greatest technological efficiency. This terroristic technocracy cannot be attributed to the exceptional requirement of war economy. War economy is rather the normal state of the National Socialist ordering of the social and economic process, and technology is one of the chief stimuli of this ordering. Footnote 2, text. In the course of the technological process of new rationality and new standards of individuality have spread over society different from and even opposed to those which initiated the march of technology. These changes are not the direct or derivative effect of machinery and its users or of mass production and its consumers. They are rather themselves determining factors in the development of machinery and mass production. In order to understand their full import, it is necessary to survive briefly the traditional rationality and standards of individuality, which are being dissolved by the present stage of the machine age. The human individual whom the exponents of the middle class revolution has made the ultimate unit as well as the end of society stood for values which strikingly contradict those holding sway over society today. If we try to assemble in one guiding concept the various religious, political, and economic tendencies which shaped the idea of the individual in the 16th and 17th century, we may define the individual as the subject of certain fundamental standards and values which no external authority was supposed to encroach upon. These standards and values pertain to the forms of life, social as well as personal, which were most adequate to the full development of man's faculties and abilities. Page 140. By the same token, there were the truth of his individual and social existence. The individual, as a rational being, was deemed capable of finding these forms by his own thinking, and once he had acquired freedom of thought, of pursuing the course of action which would actualize them. Society's task was to grant him such freedom and to remove all restrictions upon his rational course of action. The principle of individualism, the pursuit of self-interest, was conditioned upon the proposition that self-interest was rational, that is to say, that it resulted from and was constantly guided and controlled by autonomous thinking. The rational self-interest did not coincide with the individual's immediate self-interest, for the latter depended upon the standard and requirements of the prevailing social order, placed there not by his autonomous thought and conscience, but by external authority. In the context of radical Puritanism, the principle of individualism thus set the individual against his society. Men had to break through the whole system of ideas and values imposed upon them and to find and seize the ideas and values that conformed to their rational interest. They had to live in a state of constant vigilance, apprehension, and criticism, to reject everything that was not true, not justified by free reason. This, in a society which was not yet rational, constituted a principle of permanent unrest and opposition. For false standards still governed the life of men, and the free individual was therefore he who criticized realization. The theme was nowhere been more fittingly expressed than in Milton's image of a wicked race of deceivers, who took the virgin truth, hewed her lovely form into a thousand pieces, and scattered them to the four winds. From that time, ever since, and the sad friends of truth, such as durst appear, imitating the careful search that Isis made for the mangled body of Osiris, went up and down, gathering up limb by limb, still as they could find them. We have not yet found them all, nor ever shall do, till her master's second coming. To be still searching what we know not, by what we know, still closing up truth to truth as we find it, for all her body is homogeneal and proportional. This was the principle of individualistic rationality. Footnote 3, text. To fulfill this rationality presupposed an adequate social and economic setting, one that would appeal to individuals whose social performance was, at least to a large extent, their own work. Liberalists society was held to be the adequate setting for individualistic rationality. In the sphere of free competition, the tangible achievements of the individual, which made his products and performances a part of society's need, were the marks of his individuality. Page 141. In the course of time, however, the process of commodity production undermined the economic basis on which individualistic rationality was built. Mechanization and rationalization forced the weaker competitor under the dominion of the giant enterprises of machine industry, which in establishing society's dominion over nature abolished the free economic subject. The principle of competitive efficiency favors the enterprises with the most highly mechanized and rationalized industrial equipment. Technological power tends to the concentration of economic power to large units of production, of vast corporate enterprises producing large quantities and often a striking variety of goods, of industrial empires owning and controlling materials, equipment, and processes, from the extraction of raw materials to the distribution of finished products, of dominance over an entire industry by a small number of giant concerns. And technology steadily increases the power at the command of giant concerns by creating new tools, processes, and products. Footnote 4, text. Efficiency here called for integral unification and simplification, for the removal of all waste, the avoidance on all detours. It called for radical coordination. A contradiction exists, however, between the profit incentive that keeps the apparatus moving and the rise of the standard of living, which the same apparatus has made possible. Since control of production is in the hands of enterprisers working for profit, they will have at their disposal whatever emerges as surplus after rent, interest, labor, and other costs are met. These costs will be kept at the lowest possible minimum, as a matter of course. Footnote 5, text. Under these circumstances, profitable employment of the apparatus indicates to a great extent the quantity, form, and kind of commodities to be produced. And through this mode of production and distribution, the technological power of the apparatus affects the entire rationality of those whom it serves. Under the impact of this apparatus, footnote 6, text, individualistic rationality has been transformed into technological rationality. It is by no means confined to the subject and object of large-scale enterprises, but characterizes the pervasive mode of thought and even the manifold forms of protest and rebellion. This rationality establishes standards of judgment and fosters attitude, which makes men ready to accept and even to introduce the dictates of the apparatus. Lewis Mumford has characterized man in the machine age as an objective personality, one who has learned to transfer all subjective spontaneity to the machinery which he serves, to subordinate his life to the matter of factness of a world in which the machine is the factor and he the factum. Footnote 7, text, page 142. Individual distinctions in the aptitude, insight, and knowledge are transformed into different quanta of skill and working, training, to be coordinated at any time within the common framework of standardized performances. Individuality, however, has not disappeared. The free economic subject, rather, has developed into the object of large-scale organization and coordination, and individual achievement has been transformed into standardized efficiency. The latter is characterized by the fact that the individual's performance is motivated, guided, and measured by standards external to him, standards pertaining to predetermined tasks and functions. The efficient individual is one whose performance is an action only insofar as it is the proper reaction to the objective requirements of the apparatus, and his liberty is confined to the selection of the most adequate means for reaching a goal which he did not set, whereas individual achievement is independent of recognition.